Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our risen and victorious Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is our text. Dear Florence, and Carol, and Dale, and Marilyn, numerous family members, all of his friends, and you, the saints that call Emmanuel home, may God's peace and grace rest with you this day. I've had three funerals in the last, this is the third funeral in the month. It's been a busy month of December and now into January. I've always seen strange having a funeral with Christmas trees and the like around, but today we do. We have a Christmas tree, we have an Advent wreath, and we have the poinsettias sitting on the altar, and it all kind of reminds us that you and I are still in the heart of the Christmas season. Now, I wonder, over the last few weeks, if you have been like me, binging on Christmas classic movies. Movies like, you know, The Christmas Story, or It's a Wonderful Life. I don't really like Elf all that much. Christmas Vacation can be a little bit off-putting, but there's Home Alone is there, and Miracle on 34th Street. All those are great classics, but one I forgot about is that movie called The Scrooge. The Scrooge, you remember the story, although I realize there's many different versions of the story's always the same. The miserly guy who's mean and all that different stuff, and when he gets to the end of his life, he gets a visit from Christmas past, present, and future, and he has that realization of who he's been and who he's going to be upon his death and what everyone else thinks of him. And so after he has a chance to see what life looks like and what other people think of him, he begins to kind of rewrite his life story. And then, of course, the story ends with him being a kind, generous man. It's a great story. But I know what you're thinking. Pastor, this is a funeral, and Christmas is already over. Who do you think you are, the Hallmark Channel or what? But I want you to think about a real-life Ebenezer Scrooge. His name was Alfred. And Alfred's family was well known to be manufacturers in the weapons industry. In fact, Alfred's father built an underwater mine for Russia. And Alfred himself was famous for developing new types of explosives and other blasting caps and smokeless gunpowder. All were Alfred's discovery. In fact, in 1867, he invented dynamite. And by that time, he had opened up 100 factories to meet the demand for all these weapons of war that he was creating. Well, as it would turn out, in 1888, Alfred's brother, Ludwig, passed away. But there was a French newspaper that thought it was Alfred who passed away, and the headline read this: "The Merchant of Death is Dead." And then under that it said, "The man who became rich by funding ways to kill more people faster than ever before died yesterday." It wasn't long after that that Alfred finally sat down and took his life story and began to rewrite it. He rewrote his will. In fact, he gave the bulk of his estate, in today's dollars, it'd be by $265 million. And he stipulated this money should be distributed annually in a cash prize to anyone in the preceding year who shall have conferred the greatest benefit for mankind. But the most prestigious award of all was the Peace Prize. And it was rewarded the individual had done the most or the best work in fraternity between nations and the abolishment and reduction of standing armies and the formation and the spreading of peace. And the Nobel Prize came with a hefty prize dollar amount, and it was a great honor for anyone to receive. And I think all of us have heard of the Nobel Peace Prize. You see, it was Alfred Nobel who I've been talking about the whole time. And see, just like the Scrooge of old, he is given the opportunity to rewrite a brand new ending to his life. And I say most people today don't remember him as the designer of death or whatever that French newspaper called him. They remember him as the man who promoted peace on earth and harmony between man. Both Ebenezer Scrooge and Alfred Nobel, both of them had a chance to rewrite their own obituary in the end. On this day, on the back of your bulletin, you see the obituary of Del Edward Schmidt. It gives a lot of information. Most notably, the day he was born on March the 30th of 1930. And his parents were David and Sophia Schmidt. That's all there. But in that obituary, there's a fact that's not included, but we all know it should be there. That Dale Schmidt was a sinner. You know, King David wrote these words in Psalm 51. "Surely I was sinful from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And if you remember, after the flood, and Noah had gathered, and he provided these sacrifices to God, and all this was going on, God's words were these: "The Lord smelled that pleasing aroma and said in his heart, 'Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood.'" He wasn't just talking about Noah and his generation. He's talking about you and me and even Dale Schmidt. See, the truth of the matter is, we are not sinners because of what we do. We're sinners because of who we are. You know, the Journal Star could have ran an article this morning in the headlines that said, "Dale Schmidt, the poor, miserable sinner is dead." And they would have been right. Dale knew he was a sinner. In fact, as his health declined, I visited them at home. And as I visited with them, part of it, I'd share devotion. And before we took communion, I'd always ask him that pivoted question: "Do you humbly acknowledge and heartily lament your sins?" And of course, he would say, "Yes," every single time. My dear friends in Christ, it's Dell's sin that's brought us here today. It's sin that ultimately leads to death. But to know Dale Schmidt, he was so much more than that. If you know him very well, you know that he really loved numbers. And I wasn't sure what his vocation was before he retired, because I've only known him in retirement. But he worked out at the Sandoz Dorsey Laboratories, and he was, we're going to call him the engineer of inventory. He determined stuff that came in and stuff that went out. And it was a big responsibility, because it's a large plant and one little mistake can cause production delays that will affect the bottom line. And believe you, people get fired for that. But he was good at his job, and he was very faithful at what he did, because he just loved numbers. He loved them so much that he even volunteered here at Emmanuel to balance the books and to maintain our budget as the treasurer of our congregation. And believe you me, at Emmanuel, it takes the heart of Jesus to do that job. He loved numbers. And it was no doubt he was an excellent employee at Sandoz Dorsey, and I know he was an excellent treasurer here. However, with all of his knowledge, with all of his experience, and with all of his abilities of balancing books, there was one account that Dale Schmidt was never, ever able to reconcile by his own reason or strength. And that was his relationship with his Heavenly Father. But you see, it was Jesus Christ himself who began to rewrite the obituary for Dale Schmidt many years ago. In fact, the revision of Dell's life story began shortly after his birth. It was on April the 20th of 1930 at a baptismal font in a little congregation called Trinity Lutheran Church in Claytona, Nebraska. He wasn't even a month old, and his parents had brought him to that font in his swaddling clothes, and the pastor had taken hold of him. He had said those precious words: "I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." And on that day, God snatched Dale Schmidt out of the jaws of sin, death, and the devil, and transposed him and reconciled him with the Heavenly Father as he ushered him into the family of God. And believe you me, that water and that word changed the trajectory of Dale Schmidt's life from that day forth and even forevermore. before God tells us that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. It's a promise that God made to Dale so many years ago. But God wasn't done rewriting the obituary for Dale Schmidt. If you read further down, he ultimately was confirmed at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Nebraska. And he I'm sure as a 13-year-old young man, he'd walk before that altar and, like most confirmants, knees shaking, sweat running down your brow, and you're going to make this great confession of faith. Then the pastor turns to you and he asks you a question that's a little bit awkward. As a 13-year-old, he asks you this: do you also, as a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, intend to continue steadfast in the confession of this church and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Boy, are you ready to die for your faith in Jesus Christ? And Dell responded, "I do so intend with the help of God." And then the pastor upped it one more notch. He says, "Finally, do you intend to faithfully to conform all your life to the rule of the divine word, to be diligent in the use of the means of grace, to work as it becometh the gospel of Christ, and in faith, word, and deed remain true to the triune God, even unto death?" To which Dell responded, "I do intend by the grace of God." See, Dell's confession was significant because that faith in confessing Jesus Christ as his Savior was a gift that God had given unto him. Luther reminds us that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel in the way that the Holy Spirit called Dell Schmidt to faith in Christ, the crucified one. Jesus had a promise to make there too. He says, "If you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father who is in heaven." If you're here today and you've been confirmed and you've made that proclamation and that confession of faith, God has made you a boatload of promises. Forgiveness, life, and salvation all through faith in the crucified Christ. But like that fictional Ebenezer Scrooge in the real life Alfred Nobel, Dale Schmidt also had the ability, as he lived his life, to kind of rewrite his own life story as he moved along due to his faith in Christ. Dale is one that literally lived out his confirmation verse I read a moment ago. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones." No, that's not it. But Dell lived it out, what Paul wrote to the Colossians. He says, "Put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another." And that's exactly how Dell lived his life. And I can speak from personal experience that Dell certainly exercised a whole lot of patience and a whole lot of compassion and a whole lot of kindness with his pastor. But for me, what made Dell Schmidt the man of God, the disciple of Christ, is that he literally did live out his confirmation verse. "And whatever you do in word and deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I want you to notice that the sermon title today seems a little bit strange. Missionary Dell? Pastor, that's not even connected to the text. How do you pronounce it? Missionary Dell. But that's exactly who he was throughout all of his lives. It was Dell's mission in life to convey the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone, and I mean everyone that he met. He began with his family. I'm telling you, I've been a pastor for 20 years. I've never seen a family that large of great-grandchildren come and sing at the great-great-grandfather's funeral. That is amazing. That tells me something, that faith that was in Dell Schmidt, he planted the hearts of his children, and ultimately you did the same in the lives of your kids. Still connected to the body of Christ, still active in worship, and still faithful to who Jesus Christ is for them. And today I know that Dell rejoices in that. But secondly, he also made that gospel message known to everybody he met. You know, Dell had this unique ability. When I showed up at Emmanuel, he came into my office about the end of week one and says, "Pastor, your Bible class is ready Tuesday morning." And I'm kind of getting my feet wet, and I said, Dale, why don't you take the Bible class through the summer, and in the fall, when I got my feet on the ground, I kind of know my responsibilities, I'll be ready for it. He says, no problem, Pastor. He kept it for about the next, I don't know how many years, but it was about over a decade. And I rejoiced at that because he loved to teach God's Word. Not only here, but at Lancaster Manor. And even towards the end of his life, he was the all-time substitute preacher when the chaplain didn't show up at Clark Gerry. They say, Dale, you got something for us. He'd go back down to his room, he'd pull out something from Lutheran Outer Ministry, and he'd come back and share the gospel with the people that were living there at Clark Gerry. To me, that's a story of an amazing man. But lastly, I would say that it's through his affiliation with Lutheran Layman's League, or Lutheran Hour Ministry as it's known today, and his connection with Mission Central. I'm only aware of a few of the missionaries that Dale and Florence have supported through the years. You know, I don't go through and check out everybody's doing, but I know he is very faithful at doing that, and there's a whole lot more I was unaware of. In fact, there was a young student from Concordia University that would sit in the pew somewhere over there, oftentimes bringing different girls as he came, but they adopted that young man as their grandson. He'd have dinner with them and all those things, and that young man grew up to go to the seminary, and now he's a pastor, I believe, in Texas, and it's a joy, and it's because of that great love that they've shown and the support that they gave. But missionaries, that Gary Teese will tell you that Dale Schmidt was a missionary because he did everything he did in word or deed to the glory of God. Everything in the support of the wealth that he had, he lavished it upon those that would go into the mission field to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that are desperate need of hearing it. And I got to be honest with you. That faithful voice of a layman that was so in love with Christ and such a faithful disciple will be greatly missed by this congregation and most especially by me. Now this morning you and I laid to rest an amazing man. I got to tell you, his life epitomizes what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I told the family downstairs, although I can't preach something to heaven, Dell doesn't need any help from me. Because he had faith in Jesus. He believed that Christ was his Savior, and he put all this trust in him. He knew that the suffering death of Jesus Christ had changed the trajectory of his life forever. He was no longer dead in his sins and trespasses, but he had been made fully alive. And for Dale, it was Jesus, always, always about Jesus. As you leave this place this morning, I want you to leave knowing that God has rewritten the obituary of Dale Schmidt himself. By the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, he is forgiven. And by the resurrection from Christ from the grave, he has the promise of eternal life today that he's inherited. With the white robe and the palm branches and his voice gathered together with all those who have gone before singing praises to God. But I want you to also leave with this. I want to encourage you to think of your own life story. I want you to think that whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen? Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.